So apparently, conspiracy theorizing is up, according to a headline I read in The Economist, Beast Place, October 7th, 2020. It was basically Plandemic to Sheeple, the blah blah conspiracy theory. And everyone makes fun of conspiracy theories. First of all, some are true and some are ridiculous, but it is a wide spectrum. For instance, on the ridiculous side, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster. I don't know how those are conspiracy theories. Like, was there a conspiracy to keep black? But they're like Bigfoot, aliens, like ancient aliens. Now, let me talk that for a second. The pyramids couldn't possibly have been built by human beings. First of all, it's crazy because they used really big individual blocks. But aside from that, it's just a stack of rocks. You're like, yeah, but you could say that about the Empire State Building. Yeah, it's true. But you really, it's like, think about a pyramid. It's not a cube because they wouldn't have been able to build a cube. If you're stacking, like, think about how you pour sand on the beach and you can make, like, pretty big edifices. The base always has to be wider than the top. It's not that hard. Not ancient aliens, ancient people. Remember, these are people that ostensibly, although I doubt people really believe this, thought Pharaoh was a god. And so the way I understand this working is the way that their agricultural cycle worked is they had one crop per year. A lot of places, there's like winter wheat, there's multiple crops a year. So that these guys would work a lot for a short period of time and then they were just sort of hanging out. Which leads to how you get giant armies. And surplus labor to build things like the pyramids. If you look at, you know, European society in France before the ancient regime, there's all these giant castles all over the place. These mansions. You know, like Downton Abbey. There's Downton Abbey type places, which are, I think, much prettier in the French 18th century. You don't see a lot of 19th century stuff built in France for obvious reasons. Not until much later, until you get to the Gilded Age. It's like a resurgence of this sort of thing. But anyway, conspiracy theories. Always getting made fun of, but some conspiracies are true. Gulf of Tonkin is now widely accepted as like the U.S. government is trying to find an excuse to go full bore on the Vietnam War. And they made up some, basically. Remember the Maine? You don't. Oh. So, in I think it's 1898, the U.S. decides it's going to go to war with Spain, but has no reason to. And so, you get this, basically, you get into a situation that is more or less, they make up a reason to get into the war. And that's the battleship called the Maine. So all U.S. battleships were named after states. If you think about Pearl Harbor, the Arizona, famously, the Iowa, used in the first Gulf War, or Operation Desert Shield Storm. Anyway, Maine, battleship, there it is, blows up in Havana Harbor. And they blame it on somehow the Spanish. This is how the U.S. somehow becomes, I think we get Puerto Rico and the Philippines out of this. And some other things that had to do with Cuba as well. But anyway, suddenly we're at war with Spain. Why? It had probably had more to do with economic factors. Okay? One of them, like, I'm learning now is War is a Racket. It was written by a Marine named Smedley Butler, talking about how a lot of wars are being fought for profit. We need to fight a war now. Or, like, for instance, the First World War. Why would these countries ever really go to war? They had more or less ironed out their religious conflicts. They had more or less ironed out their colonial expansion. They had carved out the world, more or less. Right? They were basically meant Africa at the time, and whatever you had, you had. So the Dutch got to hold their holdings in the Pacific and so on. No one was really trying to be expansionist as far as like taking dirt exactly. The Germans were sort of trying to unify the German speaking world, which includes like parts of Romania and stuff. It's kind of, you know, you get these pockets of ethnicity. Oh, here's one fun little thing about those sort of ethnic hatreds that Americans have no concept of, and I don't expect you to. But there's regions of Romania that Hungary insists don't exist, and say that Romanians don't exist because there's no writing in those areas for hundreds of years. Like, basically, the peasants didn't write anything down, therefore they don't exist. If you didn't write it down, it didn't happen. Okay, yeah, in accounting. Anyway. So why would you even fight this First World War? Over what? Because, like, some anarchist assassinated some dude inside his own... It's not like he was outside of his empire. That archduke was inside his archdukery or duchy, whatever. He didn't get assassinated in a foreign country by foreign actors. Those were his citizens, did it. And then get into this crazy war. And then it's like explained, well, then this guy attacked this guy and that guy attacked that guy. Like, wait, what? No. No. It's too stupid. I've seen another explanation, which was like basically competing central banks, right? So that's like another conspiracy theory. It's like you have these central banks, which are not a conspiracy theory. Okay, every country has one. Every country has a central bank. There's a few major ones. The Federal Reserve in the United States, which is like quasi-private. Bank of England, which I believe is nationalized, and then the various European ones. I don't know about the European bank, how that works. As far as I can tell, it's the Bank of Germany, which would be nationalized. Obviously, the Russian one's important because of the nukes that back it, but economically, it's not that all that potent. People's Bank of China, I think that's how you say it. It's the People's Bank. Bank of Japan. But, you know, like Korea has one, Australia has one. In Europe, there is a French central bank. I don't know if it's Société Générale. I don't think it is. But they're sort of subservient. They don't have their own currency. If you don't have your own currency, you're not... You may have something that acts sort of, kind of, like a central bank, but it's then borrowing money from another entity. The having your own currency thing's important because you have to be able to print your own money. That's what a central bank allows. So in the United States, our quasi-private Federal Reserve allows us to print huge amounts of money. If it were totally nationalized, it wouldn't work. And if it was totally privatized, it wouldn't work. It needs to be semi-private because you can't... Basically because... Well, one of the reasons is that like government tends to not be good at doing stuff. And I think that you can't really expect... I mean, it's like the people at the DMV are going to run the banking system. No. You need like private incentives to get them to work correctly. You know, like basically every bank in America is like part of the U.S. government and not at the same time. You know, especially after like the major bailout that showed that. Like, hey, they screwed up. We're going to fix it and no one's going to get in trouble. That part's hard to take. It really is. Like, you guys crashed the system. You made all this money. And I mean like individuals. But now, everyone... I mean, yeah, they pay their cut. Because everyone gets kind of effed to a certain degree by deficit spending and all that, it sort of falls on everyone that happens to live here or work here or be connected to this country. But you should be paying almost all of it. We should take all your money. Like, you crash the world economic system. Okay, that's fine. Let's go ahead and civil forfeiture everything you have. Oh, no, we're not charging you with anything. No. It just seems not correct. And, like, someone like Jamie Dimon does commencement speeches. Like, why? Because this dude figured out how to, like, I mean, like, really, oh, these are a hero. He figured out how to, like, lose money and be a hero at the same time. That's awesome. Way to go, Jamie. Not that I, like, but if you're him and you're listening to this, like, who is this guy telling me, like, da-da-da, you're right. But still, you ain't nothing. And so, you know, another conspiracy around this is, like, oh, the creature from Jekyll Island. That's not a conspiracy theory. The fact that we have a Federal Reserve in the United States is a fact, and the Federal Reserve Board is public, and the Federal Reserve itself is owned by the member banks. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's the way it is. That's like the what it is. And no one is lying about that. And some conspiracy theories, like there's like, there's the plandemic. It would be hard, I would say, to actually pull off this level of there was another thing I saw, like these people have this theory that the U.S. government's like owned by another entity, and that entity is really controlling it. It's like, yeah, you could have this view of it that way, but really it's the people that pay the politicians, because you can't possibly tell me that if every congressman, senator, since like whatever, 19, whatever, at least in like everyone alive today, right, is working for this like secret cabal. And they all know about it, and they've all been quiet about it. Not one person, one time, not even like James Trafficant, has said anything about it. Seems almost impossible. There's too many. It's like thousands of people. How do you... Because everything else sort of comes out. You know, all of the politically incorrect stuff that they try to hide is all there. No one even they don't even dispute it. I've noticed recently, Donald Trump put out a bunch of stuff saying, well, Hillary did this and da 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 da, and blame Barack Obama for a bunch of stuff. And Barack just sort of is like, I'm just, no, yeah, I'm not going to say yes or no. It's just, wait, you're not denying this? No. No, I'm not. All right, cool. Whatever. Right? No one cares. No one's going to do anything about it. I find it difficult to believe that there's this, like, we're owned by international bankers from England. And this has been going on for, like, over 100 years. And not one person involved in this ever said anything about it. It's tough to... But when there's another explanation that's almost the same, which is rich people give money to politicians to help them get elected, and then the politicians do what they want. Which is similar, actually, to the last thing, with some differences. Also, there's all this stuff about, like, that I've been reading about how we're sort of... How the thing... Like, someone looked at history and then said, oh yeah, someone planned all this. And to a certain degree, obviously some things are planned, but major shifts in like technology, you can't always predict what those are going to be, how they're going to affect things, and et cetera. You know, in before the Black Plague in Europe, the system was one way. Then that thing shows up, and the system changes to another direction, and no one planned the Black Death, just like I don't think anyone planned COVID-19. I think it's just the corona, the rona. No one planned that. But different entities, one, reacted differently, right? Like, it seems like Australia is losing its mind. And secondly, they not only is there a different reaction, like, some people are terrified of this thing. Like, horror, like, oh my God, Corona! And others aren't. I have zero fear because I've had it. I know what it is, right? And knowing, once you know what coronavirus is, what's going to do to you, you're not going to be afraid of it. You won't. You'll like, the fear will completely dissipate, right? You're going to be annoyed by it. Like, I'm not afraid of the flu. Every year I'm like, okay, here it comes. February, January timeframe, at some point, I'm going to get this stupid thing, and for 2 weeks, I'm going to suffer, right? Whereas people are, like, deathly afraid of corona. It's not, first of all, statistically, it's just not that deadly. And second of all, it's not that bad when you get it. I mean, yeah, it's probably caused, like, this is going to sound funny. I'm like, it's not that bad. It's definitely caused changes in my mentality towards things. Not good. Like, I have a hard time concentrating. It's all kinds of weird stuff. Well, not all kinds, but that's basically it. Like, it's like removed another layer of me giving a crap about things. The Marine Corps did a great deal. Before I joined the Marine Corps, I could be described almost as a nervous Nelly. Like, once I thought something was important, I would freak and fret and think about everything. And, like, I would sit there and I would worry about every detail. And I would make sure everything was taken care of. And I just, like, really just on point with everything. I worried about everything. And I was, like, anal about every, like, paperwork. If I didn't do a good job of it, it was just usually because I was in a hurry or I kind of maybe didn't give myself enough time for it, or it slipped through the cracks through, like, honest mistakes. Now, I have to force myself to do things that I know I'm supposed to do, like, force myself. It's like, oh, I got this thing that's going to blow up my face in about 3 days. I got 3 days. Before the Marine Corps, I would have taken care of it. Now, it's like, a lot of times, I just wait for the grenade to go off and go, okay, I'm going to pick the shrapnel out of my face. Like, my give a shit or give a fuck has been removed to a certain extent, which Corona just added another layer off that onion. Especially once I got out of the Marine Corps, I just couldn't care about anything anymore. I just couldn't. I just don't. A lot of times I'm, you know, when I was working for the bakery, these guys are taking this stuff so seriously, and in my head I'm like, what? You guys are selling cookies, man. You're selling cookies, and you're acting as if it's like life or death. You're like, your emotions that are affecting me, because I'm super sensitive, so it's so annoying. I wish I could turn it off. I'm very aware of other people. I don't like it. Anyway, y'all are freaking out over cookies, man. It's cookies, bread and cookies. It's going to sell what they're going to sell. And you can make some small changes here or there. Well, this is $4 million. They were a $6 billion company, man. $300 million profit. I'm talking about 1%. 1%. To build a factory. Or don't. It don't matter. You want to not make the product that we have like a patent on? That we're the only people on Earth that are allowed to make this product? Yes, it's called Thomas's English Muffin. That thing is patented. And the only people allowed to make that exact muffin, which tastes better than a ring muffin, is my company that I used to work for. And yet, they're like, oh, I don't know about building a new factory to build our one product. Oh, by the way, it sells super great, and it's stupidly expensive. $5 loaf of bread, basically. $6 loaf of bread. And, oh, well, a lot of times we end up selling buy one, get one. Yeah, and now we're getting $3 for a thing that should cost $1. Come on now. Come on. Let's not beat around the bush. Anyway, conspiracy theories. Basically, my point is this. Some are real and some aren't. And I think that you have to use your because you conspire all the time. Think about it. When you're a kid, you and your friends would conspire to steal alcohol from your parents. It's a conspiracy theory right there. You're conspiring. Well, it's not a theory, but get my idea. So the idea that there's people somewhere conspiring to commit crimes is like not, I don't understand how that's even, of course they happen. I think it's partly also used by the people in power because some of them are crazy and weird or sound crazy and weird, that it's a use to like deflect. So every time you come up upon something that sounds kind of funny, they'll be, oh no, that's a conspiracy theory. You can't possibly believe that, da da da. I'm like, oh. And then in 10 years, you're like, oh no, that was totally true. Like Gulf of Tonkin, remember the Maine? That's just two. Oh, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, there weren't any. Now, is it because the intelligence agency got it wrong, or is it because they lied about it? I don't know. I don't think the intelligence agencies are that hyper competent. You watch like Jack Bauer or like Jack Ryan, and yeah, those guys are like Superman. But in real life, I don't know. There's hits and misses. Anyway, yeah, thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.